Morning, brothers and sisters. Greetings to you in Jesus' name. Good to be here again. Blessing to join together with you and the opportunity to worship the Lord. And I'm excited about the Word of God, and I'm excited about what God is doing in my life, and I hope He's doing great things in your life as well. And have an opportunity here to hear from the Lord. I want to thank you, Brother Silas, for being willing to share. And I know it's challenging sometimes, but embrace the challenge and continue on. And thank you for your sharing your heart and your humility there. Really appreciate that. One thing that you shared, I'm going to touch on and join you in that one point here as we go through. I want to look at 1 John chapter 1. If you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to turn to that passage. 1 John chapter 1. And Lord willing, we're going to go through the chapter. It's 10 verses. And find the truth here that God has for us here today. We hope that He will reveal it to us. Let's pray together. Father, we are asking You to continue Your work in our hearts here today. We pray, Lord, that You would remove any obstacle, show us anything within us which is hindering Your efforts. We pray that You would guide us into all truth. We pray, Father, that the things that You want us to know, the things that we need to know, the needs that we have, that You would supply them. And we pray that Your Spirit would work in our midst. We pray for revelation. Pray for understanding. We pray for wisdom. We pray that we would have the knowledge of Your will. Pray for conviction of sin in our hearts and lives, whatever that may be. Pray, Father, for direction for us as we look toward the future, that You would show us how we can live each and every day following You and enjoying Your blessings and Your grace and Your goodness and Your love and Your provision and power. And we pray, Father, for each of us that it would be reality and that You might work Your mighty works in us, that we might praise You and give You glory. Pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle John, I would say for me, is one that there's a connection there that I have with him. There are so many things about what he shares and the truth that he communicates that blesses me. And here in 1 John especially, he deals a lot with a number of opposites, okay? Different concepts that are in contrast. He talks about death and life. He talks about light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness, truth and lies, love and hate. And he often repeats different themes as he goes through the letter and trying to emphasize and trying to cement in our minds a number of these things. John is a very straight shooter as far as a person, and he makes some pretty bold and direct statements, but his goal is definitely for our good and to give us a clear understanding of the will of God and kind of where we stand with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about personal experience. This is experience that John had with the word of life. Notice, we heard, we've seen with our eyes and looked upon. there, I would say it wasn't just a passing thing, but it was an ongoing observation. Our hands have handled. We touched with our hands. Of the word of life. It reminds me of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We see here the Word of life. Jesus said in John 5:26, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." Jesus is the Word of life. Jesus is the source of spiritual life. Verse 2, "For the life was manifested." The word manifested means clearly displayed, clearly shown. "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." This is an amazing truth here. What do you see here about eternal life? Okay. Eternal life is now mentioned. Before it was the Word of life, the beginning of this verse, life. Now it's that eternal life which was with the Father. What is he talking about? That eternal life. He's talking about a person. He's talking about Jesus Christ, is who he's talking about. Jesus is eternal life. If you want to turn back here to chapter 5, 1 John 5, just a tremendous scripture here to give us encouragement and to help us in terms of assurance of salvation. 1 John 5, verse 11, "And this is the record," or you could say witness there, "that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son," present tense, "he that hath the Son hath life," eternal life, spiritual life, "and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I think sometimes spiritual concepts are very challenging to fully grasp, and that's why we have in Scripture a lot of different angles that God uses to try to help us to understand different truths. He comes at it from different ways. I don't know what your thoughts are on eternal life. Think about eternal life. Eternal life is, I've heard the term of the present possession of the believer, is eternal life. And I would say there's maybe some truth in that statement, but I have with me today my wallet. This is mine, okay? I own this wallet. This is my possession, okay? It belongs to me. It is mine. But eternal life is not mine in the same way that this wallet is, okay? It's a different concept. The way that we actually have eternal life is through a relationship with the one who is eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. That's how we actually have and possess eternal life. It's by being connected to Jesus Christ. He is the Word of life, as we saw in verse 1. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is eternal life. We see here, back to chapter 1 in verse 2, He is that eternal life. And so we have life because we're connected to Jesus Christ by faith. That is how you have eternal life. Back to John 15. John chapter 15. I'd encourage you to turn there for a second. This is a concept that John deals with both in the Gospel of John and also in 1 John. But if we look at John 15, here's another illustration to help us to understand this concept of eternal life and spiritual life. Jesus says, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. Continue to dwell with me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and we know this if you do any type of gardening, if you have a branch that gets broken off from the source of life, what happens? It dies. It can't survive on its own. It has to be connected to the source of life. Abide in me. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And he goes on. But the point that I want to bring out there is the necessity of abiding in Christ, continuing in him, dwelling in him, staying connected to the source of life. Back to 1 John 1. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. John had something to share through his own experience with Jesus Christ, and he had a tremendous amount of experience. He had years of experience living with Jesus. And so he's giving us from his experience, this is what happened, this is what we saw. Okay, I handled him, I touched him, I looked upon him, I heard him. These are the things that we have seen and experienced. We're bearing witness and we're showing them to you. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You think about witnessing to others. You can only share what you've experienced yourself. You can't share anything that you don't know and that you have not experienced. And so it's important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to be walking with the Lord and for God to be working in our lives so that we also have things which we have seen and heard and experienced that we can share with others to their benefit. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now we know that Christ is our life. We talked about that. But now we're going into a subject of fellowship. Fellowship. Greek word here, koinonia, if you're familiar with that word, it's an interesting word. It's a word that I'm still actually trying to fully grasp. So I'm hoping maybe you have some insight for me. I don't know that I have everything to share about it, but I'll share what I know. We often hear the term, and today we're going to have a meal afterwards, I believe, after our meeting. We often hear the term fellowship meal, right? It seems like when we have a meal, it's a fellowship meal. And I don't have any problem with that term. I'm not finding fault with that. There's a church that we visit various times. And I think it's usually on the fifth Sunday of the month. If a month has five Sundays, then they meet after the Sunday evening meeting that they have. And they say, we're going to have fellowship tonight. Tonight, we're going to have fellowship. And I thought of that. And I thought, I hope you do have fellowship. But that in and of itself is not what fellowship is. And it doesn't only happen one night, you know, every so often. Fellowship is not just spending time together, talking and eating. I can have a good time with people who are not believers, talking and eating and visiting. Okay, that is possible. But that's not fellowship, not in the biblical sense. Fellowship goes beyond that. It's an activity of fellowship, but it's not fellowship itself. Fellowship is participation with. It is the partaking of. Okay, it's a connection. Another word would be partnership. It's interesting, the word communion in the scriptures, which I believe is only mentioned three times in scripture, it's this word koinonia. So communion is actually an experience of Christian fellowship. Okay, it's a connection. It's where we are, I guess the way I would try to describe it is we're on the same team, okay? We're together in that way. We're connected. We're working together in fellowship. Christian fellowship is relationship, which has a foundation of truth and spiritual life, a life of faith and a life of obedience to God. So fellowship with one another is only possible if we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. If we have fellowship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, we now are able to have fellowship with one another. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's marvelous what God has provided for us as believers in Jesus Christ, how God has brought us into His family, which is another concept that the Scripture gives us to try to understand how the relationships work. We have fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son, when we receive Christ, when Christ actually dwells in our hearts, as the Bible says, by faith. Jesus is dwelling in my heart today. I hope He's dwelling in your heart today, by faith. That is where He resides. We're connected. We're in relationship. So we have to have that relationship with the Father and His Son in order to have relationship, fellowship with one another. It's a really fascinating subject. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, I think, as we move along. But let's move on to verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And I have a question to ask you today. Is your joy full today? Our brother just shared, he gave us a good illustration about fullness. Is your joy in the Lord full today? What's the Bible tell us? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. The Bible talks about joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know anything about it? Have you ever experienced it? Is it true for you today? The joy that is unspeakable. It's hard to describe it. You can't really explain it. It's something you have to experience. It's something you have to have. Is your joy full today? John was writing so that for you and me, our joy could be full. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. What God wants to do in your heart and in your life, in me. Every day. Every single day.
I was working at a house here a while ago. I had bought a house.
The plumbing had frozen up. I was working in that house fixing plumbing. I'm not much of a plumber, I'll just be honest with you on that, but I do try some. PEX I think I can do fairly well with, and some of the others it's more of a struggle. But I was working in that house, trying to fix a bunch of things. The water guys came to turn the water on, the city water guys came. And it was an older guy and a younger guy. The younger guy was kind of pleasant and kind of, you know, he was sort of young. The older guy was, he apparently had a hard life. I'm not sure. He wasn't having a good day. I don't know if he ever had a good day. He was kind of down, dejected. It was one of those basements where you kind of have to bend over a little bit. You can't just stand up. You sort of have to bend so you don't hit your head. And he walked in and I said, "Hey, how you doing today?" You know, the older guy's not having a very good day. And the younger guy, I don't know what he said. And I said, "Yeah, what about you?" And I said, "I'm having a really good day today." And he said, "What? What did you say?" I said, I'm having a really good day today." He said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, I am. I'm completely serious. I was having a good day. In fact, I was having a great day. We got a lot of the plumbing done. But beyond that, the reason I was having a good day wasn't plumbing related. It was related to what's right here in this verse. It's because my joy was full in Jesus Christ. It's because of what God was doing in my life that day. You see, every day for me, I want to rejoice in the Lord. I want to delight every single day in the God of my salvation. I want to ponder the blessings that I'm actually experiencing on a daily basis. And I don't know what's happening in your life, but I can tell you what's happening in my life, and that is the blessings are unbelievable. They are incredible. As I look at, I have physical health, I don't have any pain in my body, I have a great wife, I have three healthy children, we own our own homes, I have victory in Jesus Christ, I have peace in my heart. There are so many things. Just stop and think about them. Take some time and think about it. Every day. Every single day. It is sad. It is sad indeed to see so many Christians whom God is blessing abundantly, tremendously. I realize we may have some difficult problems too. I'm not oblivious to that. But we're not to focus on our problems when it comes to joy. We're to focus on what God is doing and what God has done and what God is going to do in the future. And it is amazing, absolutely amazing, the blessings that God provides. What is it that's keeping people from joy? Sin? Problems? Anxiety and worry? False guilt? Feelings of worthlessness? Unthankfulness? Suffering? Confusion? Worldliness? There are a lot of things that can just sap the joy right out of you. Just suck it out so that you're just ho-hum, down, discouraged, disgusted, frustrated, defeated. All those things that the devil wants for you. Is that what's going to happen in your life? The more that we experience and understand God's love and goodness toward us, and we receive the blessings that He has for us every day, the daily load of benefits, the Bible calls it. Every day we receive them. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are giving. Rejoice every day. Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." We're talking here about the character of God, who God is, what God is like. God is light. Now, it's not talking about physical light like we have in this building and coming through the windows. It's talking about spiritual light. God is light, and there is no darkness, nothing impure, nothing bad, nothing wicked in God. He's perfectly pure, righteous. He's what he should be in his character, completely. God does not try to keep himself from sinning. There's no interest in sinning. There's no desire to sin. He's not going to sin. God cannot be tempted with evil, James tells us. We can be tempted with evil, but not God. God is light, and he brings light to every person. John chapter 1, verse 9, we're told that Jesus is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light of Jesus Christ is shining. Shining on you today. Shining on every person. He's the light that comes into the world. He lights every man. That is, every person. I don't care where the person is. They have a certain amount of light that God gives them. Now, some it's more and some it's less. But there is light that God gives to every person. If you receive the light, you respond to the light, you want more of the light, well, then God gives more. He gives more and more as you receive it, as you take it in, as you come to the light. What are you doing with the light that is shining on you? What are you doing with it? God is light. There's no darkness in him. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Light shows us reality, right? Doesn't it? When we have light, we can see what's there. It's in the dark. You don't know what's there. You can't see it. But when there is light, you can see what is there. You can see the reality that is present, the way things really are, the truth. And so, since God is light, walking in the light is living in the truth of God. It's living in his ways. It's obeying his commandments. It's doing his will. That's what it is to walk in the light. Walking in darkness is rejecting the light that God gives. It's turning away from the light. It's saying no to the light. It's blocking the light so it doesn't shine in your heart. That's walking in darkness. It's living according to the desires of the flesh. It's being of this world. It's giving in to Satan and the powers of darkness as they come to lure you into things that you're not supposed to be doing. Okay? That's walking in darkness. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 gives us tremendous insight here to this whole concept of spiritual light. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. John 3, 19. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. It says, no, I will not have the light. The light will not shine on me. The light is blocked. They go into the darkness. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. There are things there that we know should not be there, but we don't want to come to the light. We don't want them to be out in the open. We don't want to call them what they are. So we hide in the darkness. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. How about for you? What do you love? Light or darkness? Where are you walking? You can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship not only with God Himself, but we have fellowship one with another. Hallelujah. We have fellowship with each other because we're walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now here's a question. Is a person who is walking in the light never committing any sin? Is that what it means to walk in the light? I never sin because I'm walking in the light. Is that what that means? What do you think? No, okay. Any other no's? Any yeses? I would agree. I would say no. Yes, while they're walking in the light. Okay, I could see that. So I would say this. I think it's possible for us to be walking in the light in relationship with the Lord and still be struggling, perhaps, with some sin challenges in our lives. Maybe still be in the battle with sin and fighting against it. But I'll say this, if you're walking in the light, you're going to be coming to the light. You're going to be bringing yourself to the light so that the deeds that you are committing can be shown for what they are. The righteous deeds will be shown to be righteous. The sinful deeds that you're committing will be shown to be sinful. And you'll need to turn away from those things. And if you do, what happens? Says it right in this verse, doesn't it? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God. If I'm walking in the light, I may get deceived. I may fall into a temptation. I may commit a sin. That can happen. But if it does happen, I'm walking in the light. I can see it. I might not see it the instant I do, but I will see it because the light is there. God is going to show me my sin. I've had this happen a number of times, even in recent experience, where I did something and didn't quite realize what I was doing, and afterwards was like, whoa, what a mistake. What a sin I made, committed there. But God showed me. Because I was walking in the light. Because I wanted to be in the light. God showed me what my sin was and I was able to correct that sin and turn away from that sin. John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you are following Jesus, that's what he's talking about right here. If we're following Jesus as his disciples, as his people, as those who have Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will not walk in darkness. No, no. No. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light of Jesus Christ and follow Him. And so life for us as believers is following our Lord and Savior every day. I'm doing what He says. I'm keeping His commandments. I'm honoring Him in my life. He's showing me His ways, His desires. The things that He wants to do in me, He's showing those to me. And they're coming to pass. I do not want to sin. I may sin at times, but I do not want to sin. And if I do sin, the light will show me what it is, and I am going to turn from those things And with the help of God, I'm going to get them out of my life. I know there's some spiritual battles we face. There's some bondage that we face in our lives. God doesn't want it, but it is there at times. And I'll say this, we cannot be comfortable living in the bondage of sin. When I become comfortable living in the bondage of sin and sinning, and this is just the way it is, and I know this is wrong, but I just keep doing this over and over again. When I become comfortable with that and I accept that, now I'm in the darkness. I'm in the darkness. If I'm struggling with sin and I can't seem to get victory, but I want victory, and my eyes are on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and I'm seeking to follow Him, and I'm seeking for His help and for His deliverance, I'm walking in the light. I'm going in the right direction. Okay? It's a battle. It's a battle. I understand. Definitely understand it. Here's a question for you. This is an interesting question, I think. There's a question, as you talk to different people, different believers, you get completely different answers. But I don't think there can be different answers to this question. So I'll ask you the question. We'll see what we come up with. I don't know if we'll be in agreement on this or not. I hope so. Is it possible for you and for me, as a believer in Jesus Christ, a person who's born again, okay, a child of God, is it possible for us, really, practically speaking, to live a holy and righteous life? Is that even possible for us? Or is that impossible because we have the flesh and we have the world, we have the devil and we have ourselves and our own weaknesses and those types of things? And so, yeah, we have that as a goal up here. We're shooting for that, but we're never going to get there. We could never possibly get there. But we're going to aim for that and try to do improvements, okay, and try to make progress spiritually. Is it possible for you to live a holy and righteous life? I'm going to give you a chance to step out and, you know. Yes. Okay, yes, it's possible. Okay, any other thoughts? Okay, if I'm living in Jesus, not your righteousness, okay. Okay, there's a good question. That's a very good question. It's exactly right. Okay, very good. Anybody else? 1 John 3:3.
Beloved, now we are children of God, and not in this world what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
Beautiful. Appreciate that. Well, I see we are pretty much in agreement here. That's good. I figured we would be. I've talked to people, and you can't live a holy life. You can't live a righteous life. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Because you're totally corrupt. You're totally depraved. You have the sinful nature and all these other things that they talk about. And so you're just going to continue to live in sin and defeat all your life. But just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll bring you through someday. Someday you're going to make it to heaven. No, brothers and sisters. No. God is a holy God. He wants His people to be a holy people. He wants us to live a righteous life. He's created us to live His way. That's why He made us. We can live His way. As we walk in the light, as we're filled with the Spirit, as we experience the grace of God, it's not something I'm going to do of my own fleshly efforts. That doesn't work. But it's the power that works in you, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. It's what God wants to accomplish in you. And this is important to understand. And if you're struggling in sin, if you're in bondage and those types of things, very, very important. You need to see yourself as God wants you to be. You need to see, this is what God wants me to experience. God wants me to experience victory. God wants me to experience freedom. Jesus came to set the captives free. That was part of his ministry, is to set the captives free, to bring healing to broken people, to those that are defeated, to help us, to bring us back up on our feet when we've fallen down and can't get up. There are tremendously great things that God wants to do. When we think of salvation only as the forgiveness of sins, we're only getting part of the picture. And I don't want to minimize the forgiveness of sins. I really don't. Don't misunderstand me. That is critical. That is tremendous, what God has done in forgiving us. But there is a lot more to salvation than just the forgiveness of sins. God's desire and plan is a new creature, a new you, a new man, a new woman, made in righteousness, in true holiness, so that you can be the person that God wants you to be. You can be that person. Don't ever forget it. You can be that person. God wants it to be so. He will work in you to that end. You also must cooperate with him. Back to 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Do you notice there are a couple things here that I think are very clear when it comes to Christian fellowship? If we're going to have fellowship, and we have fellowship not just with people here in this group, okay? As believers in Jesus Christ, we should have Christian fellowship with all those who are born again and walking in the light, okay? And we see it here. Verse 3, our fellowship truly is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am abiding in Christ. I'm born again, born of the Spirit. And that enables me to have fellowship with other believers, that she also may have fellowship with us. All now back in verse 7, we have fellowship one with another if we walk in the light. Then there's fellowship. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's what God desires. In the body of Christ, we're working together. We're connected. God is doing great things in the midst of his people. Did you ever meet a person? You ever have this experience? You meet some, just random encounter. You begin to talk with that person. You begin to observe that person. It's like, something's going, something. This is another believer. This person is a believer in Jesus Christ. And there is a connection. There's a connection there. I don't know if you ever had that experience. I've had that. This is a person who's a believer in Christ. There is fellowship there, even though I never knew that person. Because we're both walking in the light. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I would say one of the biggest dangers that you and I face is to view ourselves as something different than what we really are. That is a tremendous danger. See, concept here of deception. Another question for you. Is it possible for genuine, I'm talking about sincere, genuine believers in Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about make believers and that type of stuff. I'm talking about people who are truly born again and have the Spirit of God. Is it possible for a genuine believer to be deceived? This one's a little harder for you than the last one. Depends on the type of deception. Okay.
Truth fall.
Okay. So in that regard, we can be. All right. Anything else? Appreciate that.
Can be honest differences in the doctrinal things, the two honest believers, one was key.
Yeah.
I don't think we can say out of hand, if he's wrong, that he believes that he's not a Christian.
Yeah, no, I would agree. There are some points there that's not necessarily the case. Yeah, there was another voice I heard.
There are those who believe who are Christians and are deceived.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Anybody else? Cleet?
There was a
Yeah, it talks about, how is that? I'm trying to get that verse. Yeah, it talks about that the time will be shortened so that the elect will in fact be saved. I forget, there is deception in there, but I can't remember the exact word. But yeah, that's a good point. I appreciate that. I want you to hear this. Just please, please, please take this to heart. You and I can be deceived. Let's not fool ourselves. Okay? We can definitely be deceived. Now, I believe that if I walk in the light and I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm actually submitted to the will of God, I do believe that God will show me truth and error. God will show me the right way, but I have to take that way. Okay. Do you remember what James says about deception? We're to be doers of the word. Do you remember that? We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Do you remember the next part? Deceiving your own selves. Do you see what happens? When I know what God wants, and I say, no, I'm not going to do what God wants. I know there's sin in my life. I'm not going to say what my sins are. I'm not going to deal with my sins. No. You're deceiving yourself. So there's deception that comes from outside. There's deception that comes from inside. Okay? I'm deceiving myself. I'm fooling myself. Deception, what is deception? Deception is when I think that something that is true is actually false, or vice versa. I think something that's false is actually true. Then I'm deceived. Okay? So if you were deceived right here this morning, if you were deceived, would you know it? Would you know it if you were deceived?
No.
I don't think you would. That's the nature of being deceived. You think that you know, but you don't. Okay? So there's a danger. I could take you to passage after passage. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, I think it is there. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, speaking of Jesus Christ, is righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, talking there. Do not be deceived, Paul says. Let no man deceive you. Deception is a very, very great threat to us. And we absolutely must be on guard against it. We must be seeking the truth. We must be seeking the Lord every day. Following Christ every day, it is essential. I need to move on. Verse 9. If you say you have no sin, and you've sinned, you deceive yourself. That's just the way it is. Friend, there's no other way to look at it. And the truth is not in you. And that's, we could talk more about that, but I'm going to move on. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Back in verse 7, it talked about if we walk in the light that the blood of Jesus Christ is going to continue to cleanse us from all sin. But here it gives us a little more insight as to how that actually works. It actually works because we confess our sins. We take ownership of our sins. I'm a name it and claim it preacher. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm going to name it and claim it when it comes to repentance. Name your sin and claim your sin. This is what I did. My sin is this, and this is what I did. I see it for what it is. I take 100% ownership of it. This is my problem. This is my sin. I am facing it. I am turning away from it with God's help. I am seeking God's forgiveness. Acknowledge your sin, see it for what it is, confess it, admit it openly, and you will make progress in your life if you confess it. God's faithful and just. God's not going to fail us. He does not fail us. He will forgive us, any genuine person who comes to Him in true repentance. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, I have sinned, but I say I have not sinned. No, I haven't sinned. I didn't sin. I don't do anything wrong. No, I didn't do anything wrong. We make Him a liar. You make God a liar when you do not take ownership of your sin. That's a serious issue. That is a serious, serious problem. You contradict and reject God's word, and His word is not in you. That is frightening to think about. If God's word is not in me, and I'm making God out to be a liar, and His truth, verse 8, is not in me, that is a very scary thing. You're a liar, the Bible says, and you're not walking in the light. Brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you as much as I possibly can. Walk in the light. It's marvelous. Walk in the light. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you follow the leading of the Spirit of God, you will not be living in the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the truth. God has great things that He wants to do in your heart and in your life. The transforming power of the gospel God wants to see at work in you so that you actually become like Jesus Christ more and more. You become conformed, the Bible says, to His image. You have a new heart. God wants to do great things. Let's look to Him to do them. Let's ask Him to do them. Let's seek for Him to do them. And by the grace of God, they will become reality in your life. Hallelujah. Give you an opportunity if there's any correction or any question here. On this passage, we'll give you a chance here for that.
makes sense, can't know what is, how do we deal with who would fall?
Excellent question. Did you hear the question? If we cannot really see that we are deceived, which is one of the problems of being deceived, how will we know? How can we know? I'm going to give an opportunity for response to that. That's a, that is an excellent question.
When we have fellowship, that's not only fellowship with Jesus Christ, but it's also fellowship with other believers. And when we are a part of a ship that is full of gifts in the church, then in fellowshipping together, we communicate together, it helps us to see it. The ship's not full. There's a lot of struggles to keep going the right way, especially when storms come up.
Yeah.
Storm comes, the captain call it, all hands on deck.
That's right.
We're going to deal with this.
Yeah.
And if people are missing, it's hard to deal with storms. And I think that's where having fellowship becomes so important, especially if you let the gifts, the church, that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to life, do its work in our lives. You know, sometimes you want to throw the prophet overboard because you get tired of hearing it. Doom and doom or whatever. But sure, we do ourselves a lot of harm.
That's right.
Because don't always like it, but God is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Any other thought on that? Appreciate that very much. That's right on. That's one of the benefits of fellowship and being in fellowship with other believers, is if you see something in me, you really do need to tell me. I mean, there is some discretion. There are some issues that are bigger than others. And, you know, I think we maybe understand some of that. But if I'm completely in the wrong, if I'm completely believing the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, if you don't tell me, I'm questioning your actual love for me. Okay? Because if you love me as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to want me to continue down the wrong road because you know where that road is going. So I would say that's one thing, fellowship. Another one would be the preaching of the Word of God, teaching of the Word of God. That's why we need to be preaching and teaching the Word. That's why we meet together on a regular basis so that the truth of God's Word will actually accomplish its purposes. Because there are times where I am deceived, perhaps, but when I hear the Word, now the light comes on. Now I see the truth. And I see, this is what I thought, that's wrong. This is what I was doing that was wrong. But now I know what God actually wants. Okay, and so through the preaching and teaching of the Word. The other one is, well, I'll give any other response. There's another one I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking prayer connection.
Okay, exactly. If we ask God, what does the scripture say there in Psalms? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I've spent time doing this. I don't do it every day. I probably should, but I don't. But there have been some deliberate times I've had this year where I've actually just asked God, will you show me in my life something, if there's something wrong? And He did. He did show me. And I corrected it. And He showed me something else. And I corrected that. And so God will show us, the Spirit can bring conviction and show us what is wrong. But we got to have a heart open. We've got to be coming to the light. If we're hiding in the dark, you won't see it. You're in the dark. You want to be in the dark. So, excellent question. Any other question or correction? Okay. God bless you.